have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to invite you to turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, 11th chapter, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most all of us know this. I don't like to call accounts in the Bible stories. When I hear the word story, I think about things that my wife used to read my children when they were little. This Bible record of God's working in this man's life, in this family's life, in the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Brother William is a mentor of mine. Respect that man. I love that man. And I was driving up here today, pulling in his church. There's a passage in the book of Thessalonians where Paul is praising and thanking God that from the Thessalonian church, Thessalonica, word about our Savior and them has sounded out throughout the region. I've heard about Antioch Baptist Church in New Bethel, Belmont, Mississippi, where I used to pastor. Word of this church had sounded out throughout the region. But I also say this with a loving heart. Steps of faith I made yesterday are steps of faith of yesterday. What matters is where I'm at today in my life, in my walk with the Lord. That from us, the glory of God sounds out in our life. And I'm thankful God is unchanging. He has the power to work in our lives today. The book of John, chapter number 11, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles open this morning. The Lord willing, we may look at a few verses in this familiar record. But just to begin, I want to read down verse number 1 down through verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent it to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Verse number 4 says, "When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." It says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Pay special attention to verse number 6. The Bible says, "When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Let's go to the Lord and pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in your house this morning with your people. Lord, I'm reminded, you have reminded me all the way here, Lord, I am but dust, I am but a man. Lord, you are the power, you are the speaker, you are the encourager of a soul, you are the drawer and the saver of the lost soul. Dear Lord, I pray that you would strengthen me and enable me, dear Lord, to share your word in a manner that is pleasing to you. Lord, we all come here to your church this morning with needs. You know what we need, and you alone are the only one, Lord, that can meet these needs. I pray if there's someone here today, Lord, and they're dead in their sins, they do not know you, that today would be the day, Lord, that they have become that new creature, that you would quicken them, Lord, that you might get glory out of their life. But I also pray for that dear saint, Lord, who finds herself in the place of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and dear Lord, they're looking for you. They're longing for you, Lord. They're wondering where you are, that they'll realize that today in this place, dear God, you are able to be found. You come searching, Lord, and you can touch us and quicken us. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen and amen. I think oftentimes we read the Bible and we approach the Bible, and we often place ourselves outside of the Bible and read about what happened at some point in time in somebody's life. But I want to ask you this morning to insert yourself in this story. Find yourself where Martha and Mary and Lazarus are. News comes to the Lord Jesus that their friend, and I love how this is stated over and over in this passage of Scripture, Jesus, he whom thou lovest is sick. Not a stranger, not someone that he had never heard of, but they appeal to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is out with his apostles. He's far away, and news gets back to him. And those of us who are unfamiliar with this story would just assume the Lord Jesus, being who he is, once news got back to him that Lazarus was sick, that he was at the point of death, that he would just simply drop what he's doing, swoop in, and save the day. I mean, after all, he's the one that faced the storm, crossed the sea to save one man who was possessed in the Gadarene. He's the one who went out of his way for one lady in Samaria who was shacking up. He's the one who went through a closed door to meet Thomas. We just would assume that that's what Jesus does. News gets to him. Hey, Lazarus is about to die. But then we're confronted with verse number 6. The Bible says, "When he had heard, therefore, he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." And while Lazarus is laboring to live, Jesus is lingering. While Lazarus is dying, Jesus is delaying. And what's so striking to me about this passage, church, this delay is deliberate. That's the thought of my heart this morning. A deliberate delay. Jesus isn't held up by a train. He's not held up by a storm. No news has come back to him. And he stays exactly where he is for 2 days. And friend, he does it intentionally. I can only imagine the thoughts that go through their mind. The mind of Lazarus, of Mary and Martha, but especially Lazarus. Lazarus is laboring to live, and I can hear him through fading breaths. Where are you, Jesus? I can hear Martha and Mary going, hey, listen, we've sent for him. We called for him. We know he loves us, but where is he? Didn't there be somebody here this morning say, where's the one that calmed the seas? Where's the one that fed the multitude with a few morsels of bread? Where is the one that healed the lame, that raised the dead, that gave sight to the blind? Where is this Jesus? Why am I seeing this delay in my life? We long for him. We want him. We need him so desperately in our life. But we find ourselves in this kind of place and go, I'm calling, I'm looking. But he abides 2 days still in the same place where he was. I want to go to the Word of God. I think it's very, very important for preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers, for every single, so many times we put words in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's let the Bible speak, because it clearly declares why Jesus stayed where he was at. It shows us why he delayed, and praise God why he come in there and did what he did. And I imagine the primary reason this day wouldn't have sat well with the family. And it could be that the primary reason today wouldn't sit well with some of us here this morning. But see, Jesus knew what was true. Jesus knows what is true. And though he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus dearly, there is a purpose greater than Lazarus. Jesus said, there's a purpose greater than this man. And I want you to hear me clearly and correctly. There's a purpose greater than our personal comfort. There's a purpose greater than our trials. There's a purpose greater than earthly loss. You say, preacher, what could that purpose be that's greater than me? Look what Jesus says in verse number 4. Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Here's what Jesus is saying. Yeah, you know I love him. I know he's sick, but I'm going to stay right here because I'm going to use this. I'm going to work in my life. And though it's going to be difficult for Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, I love them dearly. There's a purpose greater than them. Now, this stands in direct contradiction to modern day Christianity. Well, we're told that God exists to serve us instead of us existing to serve God. But there's a greater purpose. Jesus says, this is for the glory of my Father, and it's for the glory of me. That's the primary reason. But I want us to look at a few more reasons here in this passage of Scripture that he would receive the greatest extent of the glory due to him. We find a deliberate delay. One reason that the Lord Jesus delayed this day, and I believe I know, one reason that he delays in our day, he was waiting for that lowest level to be reached. Most there couldn't imagine things getting any worse. Lazarus is about to die. Martha and Mary are there with him. I can't imagine things getting any worse than what they are. But Jesus knew they could get worse. As a matter of fact, he knew they would get worse. And he knew that they needed to get worse. Look at verse number 11 in this chapter. John chapter 11, verse number 11. Jesus says, these things said he. And after that, he saith to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said plainly unto them, Lazarus is dead. He says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the extent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Folks, Jesus was delayed. He was waiting. So, preacher, what was he waiting on? He was waiting on the doctor's last effort to fail. He was waiting on the doctor's last idea to fall flat on his face. No, he was waiting. He got to the point. He was waiting for the last breath to leave Lazarus's body. He was waiting on Lazarus to reach that lowest, which is most often the needful place to be. See, in a very true sense, in a very real sense, what is true with Lazarus is true for every single one of us in this place. There will be no life. There will be no quickening. There will be no eternal life, knowing God, being changed on the inside, a new creature, until we realize and recognize, admit, and confess, friend, that we're dead without him. Jesus provides no help for those those who are looking for self-help. He provides no help to the man and says, listen, I just need a little bit of improvement in my life. I've got everything going right, but my marriage isn't exactly right. So I want you to get in here and just help me in this place. Jesus said, no, I want to sit over here and I want to wait because Elijah's still got some breath in his body. Yeah, he's sick, but he's not to that place that he needs to be in. Everybody's around going, Lord, why aren't you coming? But Jesus, in his sovereignty and his greatness and his goodness, it says Lazarus has not got to that most needful place, the lowest level. Friend, you don't have time for me to tell my testimony today, but the Lord just put a little bit of them on. I grew up in a godly home, a deacon for a daddy, a Sunday school teacher for a mama. I got two other brothers that have been called into the ministry. But for 19 years, I was raised up in church. I was brought up in it. I could have taught Sunday school at 16 years old, and I was lost as a ball in highways. Listen, I knew all about the gospel. I had been preached the gospel, but I never got to a place that I truly realized that without him, I was dead. It's after I was arrested for the third time, sitting in a jail cell in Birmingham, Alabama, I watched a man wash his clothes in a garbage bag, and I finally got, friend, to that lowest level, the most needful level, that I had to cry, God, I am dead. I am lost. I am wicked. I am vile. I'm a transgressor. And the grace of God came pouring in that place and said, guess what? I still love somebody just like you. I'll still come in and I'll quicken you. But I'm not going to do it till you get to that most needful place. The lowest place. I imagine there's some people here this morning, you're going, preacher, things couldn't get much worse for me. They couldn't really get any lower. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you got to the place that you've learned that a bent knee is better than a bowed back? I mean, have you got to that place that you just lay down and put your face down on the ground, friend? That's what happened to me that day in the jail. I had my mama and my daddy and my grandmother and my grandfather, my two aunts and uncles, unbeknownst to me. They're an hour away, but they find out their boy's in jail again. And every one of them finally hit a trailer on their face, and they begin to cry out to God. See, they quit bowing their back, and they started praying. Have you got to that place to where you said, Lord, my strength will not do it. I need the sufficient grace of you. This thing is way too bigger than me. Friend, if you ain't got there, you ain't reached the lowest place yet. If you hadn't got there, you hadn't reached that most needful place yet. I say, listen, this ain't going to draw a big old crowd. Preaching this kind of message, it's not going to do it. But I'm telling you, based upon the authority of God's word, and here's the encouraging thing, friend. When we get to that needful place, that most lowest place, where finally our breath has left us, we've quit trying, and God, we know we got to have you. Friend, he will meet us at that place. He'll come to that place. That's what we find here in the story. Amen. He delayed intentionally waiting for that man to die. There's got to be a death to occur, friend, in our lives, where our efforts are no longer going to get it done. I heard a preacher say not too long ago, and it's happening all around us in Birmingham, probably here in this place and other places too. We've gotten so good at doing things outside the power of God, we hardly need God anymore. And God has withdrawn his presence from the building. He said, but let that church get to a place. Let them get to that lowest level, that most needful level, that they realize they are dead. They can accomplish nothing outside of me. And praise God, the power of God will come in and he'll revive a home. He'll revive a marriage. He'll save a soul. He'll give a message to a preacher. That's the work of God. A deliberate delay. Waiting on that lowest level. But there's another reason that we see here why he waited. For there was a deeper level of faith that needed to be reached. He was waiting on that Lazarus to get to that needful place, that lowest place. But it was also to take some faith and some others to a higher place. Look in your Bibles, if you will. Look at verse number 20. John chapter 11, verse number 20. The Bible says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went in and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And it says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Go down to verse number 32. The Bible says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. We read the Bible, it's very, very easy to tell that Martha and Mary were women of faith. They were men who loved the Lord and the Lord loved them. It's so obvious, but we read this passage of Scripture. Both of them mostly talked about what could have happened and what would happen had the Lord been there.
just would have been here. See, sometimes there's a delay in our life. We're waiting for the Lord to do what he needs to do, what only he can do, because we haven't got to that place that we truly died to ourselves. We truly haven't got to that lowest place, most needful place. But then there's those who have reached there, but the Lord wants to take your faith not to another level, but to a higher level. See, he was waiting because he was going to do something that was going to transform these ladies' lives. It was going to take them from just being regular old people who knew who the Lord Jesus was. I mean, to put them up upon a mountain. We read these women talk about what would have happened could he been there. Martha went so far to say, listen, Lord, I know at the last day he shall rise again. Boy, ain't it good to know that this ain't the end of things. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to wait. Because these women love me. These women know me. But there's room for their faith to grow deeper. And friend, that delay was digging a well. Think about this for just a minute. What do we do while we're waiting? Anybody here got any lost kids, any lost grandkids? I know you do. You got a lost husband, you got a lost spouse. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost and you got one of your loved ones praying for you. Can I tell you what Jesus was doing while he was waiting? Lazarus ain't there yet. He's still got a heartbeat. I'm going to wait till he dies. But he also says, I'm going to wait because those two women over there love me. They believe in me. And I'm going to start digging a well because I'm going to take your faith deeper. I'm going to take it deeper. I'm going to take it deeper. They're going to be put in a place in their life where they're going to learn that I am the great I am, that I am the resurrection, the way, and the truth, and the life. What do I get that from? Let's look at Mary. What do we find Mary the first time in Scripture? To my best of my recollection, everybody know the whole Martha and Mary incident? Martha's serving. She's in there cooking. She's whipping everything up, and we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. Just listening and soaking it up. Can I tell you, that's a great place to be, but that's not the best place to be. She was a student. She was listening. She was a wonderful place to be. The second time we see her, we find her here in this passage of Scripture. I can see her through tears going, Lord, I've listened to you. And if you had just been here, my brother hadn't died. But can I tell you, we find her in another place. Flip over just one chapter. Look at chapter number 12. I love this. The Bible says, then Jesus, chapter 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him the supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Verse number 3. It says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Can I tell you, through this delay, Jesus was digging a well, and now she comes back, Lazarus alive. Jesus is sitting there. She's no longer sitting and listening. Friend, she's given all that she's got, all that she has. She's moved with worship. She's moved with awe, and she is worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Friend, that is the needful place. And can I put to you, this never would have happened without the delay. Never would have happened. Mary, you got some faith, honey. But I'm going to allow you to go through something. And I'm going to dig a well. And when this thing's over, you're going to be in a place. She didn't care who else was in the room. Right. I'm going to give all that I have, all that I am. Lord Jesus, I'm going to pour it out on you. Let me ask you, friend, are we at that place? I'm so thankful for every person that's in this church. But until we move from a servant to a subject, friend, he's a king. He's a king! A king has a kingdom, and a king has subjects, and he's looking for that deacon, for this preacher, for that lady, for every single one of us to move from a place of just hearing and admiring and wishing you had been here till we take all that we got, all that we are, with unashamed worship and all, and pour it out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So he made him some spiritual giants to this delay. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to volunteer to be Lazarus, and none of us were here either. Friend, let's not waste a trial. Let's not waste an emergency. Let's not waste. See, don't get the idea, friend, that just because you're not seeing what you're longing to see and wanting to see because you're outside of the will of God. No. No, sometimes he takes those who are within the will of God. And he waits a little bit. I thought it struck me driving up here. Let me know the whole story of Jericho. He didn't bring the wall down on the first step, on the first lap around. He didn't cure Lazarus at the first sign of sniffles. He didn't calm the storm at the first gush of wind. No, they had to walk around that thing for 7 days. I'm not going to do it right now, because the whole time you're walking, I want to dig. I want to dig, because there's another place that your level needs to go to. Friend, church, that's what's got to happen in our life. There's some people here this morning, and you ain't got to that lowest place yet. You truly have not realized that He ain't just our helper. He's our Savior. He's our King. And without Him, we're dead. We have no hope. But when you get there, friend, He'll meet you there, and He'll birth life into you. He'll breathe life into you. He'll quicken you. But there's some saints and child of God in here tonight. Your faith needs to go deeper. He wants to take you to a higher place. And the only way to get there is to wait and to bind and to trust a deliberate delay. Can I tell you another reason that He waited? Another reason that He delayed, friend, was so that many more people. Look at John chapter number 12. Look at John chapter number 12, verse number 9. The Bible says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that He was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. It says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Verse number 11. It says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on the Lord Jesus. Friend, I see a deliberate delay, a waiting on purpose by the Son of God. He says, Lazarus hadn't got to where he needs to be yet, and when he gets there, I'm going to start heading that way. He's got to die, friend. We've got to die to ourselves. There's some ladies, their faith needs to get deeper. I'm going to dig a well. I'm going to wait, because Mary's going to get to a place that she moves from a student to a subject and worship me. He says, but I want to use this thing. There's a purpose greater than us. He says that I get the glory, and so that many more are reached. Can you see the supper, this dinner that we read about in John chapter number 12? They wanted to come because Jesus was there. But you know how else they wanted to come? Because Lazarus was there. And it says, because of that, many more people come to the faith. Many more people believed. Now ask the question, what would have happened had at the first sign of sniffles, the first sign of a fever, Jesus whooped in and saved the day and raised Lazarus? I don't know. But I know what happened because He didn't. Amen. See, what happened is He let him lay there. I believe it was Martha said by the time Jesus got there, he'd been dead in the grave 4 days, and he's already started to stink. There was a crowd gathered. He allowed time for people to come and see the unexplained. The miraculous. Lazarus, come forth. Loosen and let him go. And you know what happened? That word got out, and people began not only to be amazed at Lazarus, but the one that raised him. Friend, and people came to the faith. Listen, this is going to bother some of you, but it's the truth. God has every right to use my life in whatever manner He chooses, whether it's an automatic quickening or it's a deliberate delay to bring glory and honor to Himself. That's what we find occurring in this day. I'm going to wait. Because Lazarus, I'm going to use this thing. Your pain. Friend, he died. The grief of a family. Anybody ever seen the Lord work in your life through grief and pain and tragedy? Yeah? My little girl turned 21 years old Friday. She's getting married June the 1st. Y'all pray for me. I'm about to die. She was born at 28 weeks. Didn't weigh quite 3 pounds. Spent the first 6 weeks of her life in neonatal intensive care in UAB. And me and my wife had finally got our life, marriage, back right with the Lord. And she was not as big as a songbook. She couldn't eat, because as she ate, she burned more calories than she took in. So she went from 3 pounds to 2.5 pounds. My wife couldn't hold her, couldn't touch her. And I got to a place, I said, Lord, 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 by your grace you saved me. Listen, the Lord knows our hearts and He knows our motive. I said, Lord, I'm trying to be the husband now you've called me to be. I'm trying to be that man that you've called me to be. Lord, I don't understand this. And God come in, friend, before she got well. He said, I'm going to use this to change your life. I'm going to use this so you realize my love is not contingent upon circumstances. My glory is greater than your pain. Amen. By His marvelous grace, she's a beautiful little valedictorian. They should get married, but I'm surprised she loves the Lord. He waited. He said, preacher, your faith needs to go to another place. You got to die first. But I'm going to use this, and I'm going to draw a crowd So people see the unexplainable occur in Lazarus' life, and I'm going to draw people to myself. Could it be? Could it be? And that you're going through what you're going through because God's got a divine purpose and plan to use it in glory and honor to himself. See, we want the God that's always going to put a Cadillac in a driveway and a house at the beach and they got plenty of money in the account and nobody gets sick. Friend, that's garbage. Paul was beaten with many stripes. Every apostle, according to church history, was martyred. But the greater good was done because God got glory to that man's life. A deliberate, intentional delay. But I want to close with this. A deliberate delay is absolutely the worst thing any man. A deliberate delay is absolutely the worst thing any man can do. Y'all take this the right way. I honestly, it doesn't matter to me now if you even remember my name. Friend, I believe God has spoken to somebody in here today. And you finally got to that needful place in your life. Says, God, I can't do it, and I need you more than the air that I breathe. Do not delay. Give your life to the Lord. Give your marriage to the Lord. Give your family to the Lord. Give this church to the Lord. And now you've seen it. Lord, you've been allowing me to go through this because I see now I'm closer to you than I've ever been. Hallelujah. Praise him for it. Thank you, God. That you'd use somebody like me to make my faith greater and higher. And it might just be. He's going to use you to reach somebody else. Friend, whatever your need is, friend, don't you dare delay. God is in this place. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I'm so thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your house. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you are more than a story. That the very things that we see occur this day, Lord, have occurred in my very own life. Lord, and there's somebody in this place, and they come here this morning, Lord, not thinking that they need a physician, but you've made them aware, Lord, that something needs to die in their life. May they see that you're the one that quickens and brings life. God, I pray for the people in here that you're taking their faith to a higher place. But I pray most of all that you would use this place to reach others. All to the praise of your glory and your great name. Your glory and your name. Lord, may we find ourselves in marriage place, emptying out all that we are, all that we have. Lord, because you are due every ounce of it. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' sweet and precious name, I pray.